Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. There's a lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you
live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. If you would like to call into the program today, you can give us a call on the Nextdoor Home Group phone lines, 865-546-8200. If you would like to look at our ugly mugs on the video stream, that is up, as it always is, on our Periscope on Twitter.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, who you calling ugly, dude? I'm about tired of this. You want to see our ugly mugs? Yes. Like Brandon said, speak for yourself.
I believe that all of us are talented at what we do, but we got some faces for radio.
Whoa.
That's why none of us are on TV
Whoa.
Right now.
Whoa. Former TV guy over here, switch to radio because it's easier.
We all got some radio faces. That's not an insult, okay? It's not an insult.
Damn, Rick, on a
Friday? Usually when someone
says
that,
Friday,
it's not an insult.
On a Friday. The 19th year 2019 of our Lord.
That's right.
On a Friday.
It's a good day today. It's a good day.
It always is, isn't it? Pure gold, baby.
Yesterday. Pure gold. Yesterday I kind of got out of hand yesterday. Like to apologize.
We weren't really gonna like. I didn't think we were gonna revisit it, but you were a little over the top, a little bit.
Well, we're gonna revisit not the article, not the writer, none of that. But we are gonna visit the conversation of, hey, what are our thoughts on the question that has been posed? Obviously, we don't know a definitive answer to it, but we will get into that towards the beginning of the show today. What else? The Open's going on, so we'll
British
look
Open.
At that.
British Open.
The British Open.
Yeah, I feel like you got to say that because we went to the polls. Everybody told you how it was.
We did.
Everybody calls it the British Open. I even heard all of our personalities the rest of the day talking about it. They each won, said the British Open.
They all said the British Open.
Nobody said the Open.
I want to be different. I'm going to call it the Open.
Not one person.
The Open.
That ended at a final vote of 64% the British Open, 36% the Open.
Yeah, bro.
I will say, too, I was watching a sports program on TV yesterday, and it was one of the ones that, you know, has kind of the ticker, and it gives you the headline for what they will be talking about, and it did say the British Open. So I guess that's just the Americanized version of it. You know what? We live in America. Maybe it's time that
I just never heard anybody say the Open until you guys started saying that the other day. That was really weird to me.
Hey, tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the day that they actually landed on the moon. We talked about the moon launch the other day, I think on the 16th. And then it was 4 days later that the moon was landed upon.
We didn't land on the moon. The moon landed on us.
We'd be in some trouble if the moon landed on us.
Nobody gets the
It's
reference.
Like how Thanos.
You guys are way too young for the
are
reference.
Are you talking about how Thanos pulled down the moon?
Nah, it's Malcolm X okay. reference.
Yeah.
Do you know your history?
I didn't know
he
that.
He said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Boom. Boom. So that is a little bit what the show is going to look like today.
A lot of Malcolm X.
I mean, if we can get into it, I guess. I didn't really have a plan for it, but, you know, if that's where we want to take it. We also have the, what is it, the fourth installment of The Man coming up this week. And this will be the final week for our July submissions. And then we will, next week, crown our Man of the Month.
You guys got a good one today?
I feel like mine is superb.
I'm just hoping intern Matt not going to pander to the masses.
Yeah, I've already asked him.
That's a good point.
He is. He is. Once again.
Yeah,
he is.
Speak for yourself, Matt.
He is. He's pandering.
You're going to pander.
I'm a man of the people. If the people of Tennessee want to pick my votes, so be it.
You're pandering.
Wow. Wait. Some smells fishy about that. I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
Do you believe that this person is the man of the week, or is this just you just want to win? You're pandering to the people.
I'll put a little hint in. I believe this guy's going to be the man of the recruiting season again.
Come on. Well, has this week been the recruiting season?
Come on.
Yeah.
I know.
Look, they had something very good happen for them this week.
Let me tell you our three monthly nominations we have right now, and you tell me where the odd one lies. We have Grant Williams from last week.
Matt's submission.
We have Alex Morgan from the week before.
Matt's submission.
And we have Charles E. Lawson from Billy Goat Road.
My submission, the week that Matt was not here.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Matt running winner, pandering to the masses.
And they were.
Every week except for. Yeah,
that first week, they were all obscure.
Yes.
Chance, do you remember what your original one was?
Yeah, it was the
Kumar Rocker, Vanderbilt guy.
Yeah, it was a Vanderbilt pitcher.
And he actually should have won, like, just to be honest.
And yours was a dog.
Mine was
get out of here.
Scamp the Champ.
No.
The world's ugliest dog.
Y'all didn't
do mine enough credit last week. If you guys had set mine up properly last week, I think it could have won.
Well, you should have been here.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's hard to argue.
If you had a problem with us setting it up, should have been here.
That is hard to argue.
That's a damn good point, Brandon. Sounds like a personal problem to me, Rick.
All right. I digress. I got a good one this week.
We'll see.
Brandon, do you have a good one?
I think so.
Chance?
I think so. Pretty good.
Will it top Matt? I don't know.
Probably not.
Matt panders, but it's okay.
That's what he does.
At some point, we will beat him. At some point,
maybe the people
will turn.
I just see it during football season, him picking the damn best player every week.
Meanwhile.
Juwan Jennings again. Really, Matt? Really? 3 touchdowns. Yeah, of course. Oh, come on, dude.
Meanwhile, we're still picking rednecks in jail.
Oh, yeah.
For the most obscure things possible.
We're still picking people off Reddit message boards. And here he comes, just picking the headline from Knox News.
It's a good point. So that is a little bit of insight into what the show looks like today. We will go ahead and take our first break of the hour so far. We will come back in. We will have a long segment ahead of us. We will get into the opening drive, your top 4 headlines of the day. And then we will jump into this elite conversation. And we will try to make it elite for you. You are listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz. Segment number 2 of the day today. So we're going to do what we always do around this time, and we will get into the opening drive. First down.
That's your part, Matt. 1, page 1. It's okay. Matt's words so much about appealing to the people today, he had to buffer a little bit on the board. It happens.
There it is. First down. The Open Championship continues day 2 from Royal Portrush. Shane Lowry still in the lead. I believe that he was in the lead when we gave this update yesterday. He might have fallen a little bit towards the end of the day, but he is in the lead right now at 9 under for the tournament so far.
Who?
Shane Lowry.
Who the hell
is He's an Irishman.
Did you know him before you looked him up?
Hell no.
All right, thank you. I was like, you guys sounded so confident.
I didn't even look him up.
I just see the
hell is Shane Lowry? Only Lowry I know. Lowry seasoning, things like that.
Kyle Lowry.
Mike Lowry, Bad Boys, Mike Lowry, Will Smith's character. But yeah, Shane Lowry. Is Brooks Koepka on his tail? That's who
Brooks
I want
Koepka
to win.
Koepka is eighth in the tournament right now. He's sitting at 5 under, so he is 4 strokes back.
Tiger, not doing so great.
Tiger is about to miss the cut.
Yep. At 6 over right now, his projection is that he will not make the cut.
Yeah, it's not good. He did finish 1 under for the day today, but yesterday 78 was just not good.
Oh yeah, he gone.
Other notable names: Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood are tied for 3rd place. Justin Rose, a couple strokes behind them at 5th. Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, John Rahm, Matt Kuchar, all at a logjam for 11th place. Dustin Johnson jumped
DJ
35 spots in the rankings yesterday, or today. Yesterday he was, 1 over. Today he shot 4 under.
Probably hit him a little something, get him going.
Yeah, he needed that.
No,
but he found
it. Know what I mean.
And then I'm just looking for any other big names. Ricky Fowler's at 1 under. Yeah, so I guess if you're looking for the big stars, they're not necessarily there yet like they were at the U.S. Open championship a couple weeks ago. But we'll see. We got an Irishman leading right now. Does he win, Chance?
No.
On his home court?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
It's not his home court.
Yes.
There's a difference. In Ireland and Northern Ireland, which is where the tournament is.
Yeah, bro. It really is kind of a big deal.
Ireland, Northern Ireland.
Well, Rick, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
No.
Yes, Rick. Yes.
Ireland is its own independent country.
That doesn't make sense.
Northern Ireland, also, like you said, part of the United Kingdom, ruled by a monarch.
I guess in fairness, there is a Mexico, and then we have New Mexico.
It's a little different, but
that's not a good comparison at all, Rick.
It's similar.
It is 2 places with the same name. But one of them is part of a completely different country.
Oh, man.
All right, let's not get lost in the weeds.
What do you mean it's horrible?
It's totally different. Northern Ireland, Ireland being one being ran by the UK. And, yeah.
Mexico, New Mexico.
All right.
It's got the
second
same name.
Down.
Second down. Nike has officially filed their countersuit against Kawhi Leonard over the use of their logo. I guess Nike trademarked the claw logo, which has the K and the L in it. And Kawhi Leonard said, no, that was my design. That was my idea. That is my logo. And Nike has put out their statement in the countersuit against it and saying that, hey, our logo is completely different. Here is what Kawhi's looks like. Here is what ours looks like. And I will say it is fairly different, but, you know, obviously the overview is still there. But they will be at war for a little bit, it sounds like. Leonard is obviously not part of the Jordan brand anymore. I believe he's with New Balance.
He is with New Balance. No.
Why is anyone going to New Balance?
Well, they offered to pay him a lot of money. He's Kawhi Leonard, yeah. So he's also a guy that kind of thinks outside the box,
He's not a flashy guy, right?
He's not a conformist to your norms either. So he's his own man. He marches to the beat of his own drum. It actually makes a lot of sense that he went with New Balance.
That is true. All right, 3rd down. Let's talk about some recruiting rankings. Not football. Not basketball. College baseball. Tennessee Volunteers have a top 10 recruiting class.
What?
Trying to build on last year's good season.
Oh, yeah?
We're ranked 8th right now. We have 22 players.
And this is, obviously, the draft has already happened, so these guys are coming to campus.
These guys will be here, yeah.
Wow. See, that's the thing with baseball. You've got to recruit well enough to get good talent, but not too. You can't recruit too good to where all your guys are going to go to the draft.
And also,
Serrano had that problem.
And you also have to look at the guys who are likely going to go to the draft. But if they don't, you still want to try to get them. But then you also don't want to waste too much time on those guys, because you may spend a bunch of time with the guy and he's like, just got drafted by the Marlins. I'm head to Miami.
I'll tell you, I'm pumped for baseball next year.
We have 22 commits.
A little excited.
Ahead of us, Mississippi State, Miami, Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Florida, Mississippi, Vanderbilt. A lot of SEC right there. And in case you wanted to know, after Tennessee's recruit yesterday in football, we are ranked 26th in the nation right now with 0 5 stars, 6 4 stars. Good number right there. 5 3 stars. Making progress. We were 30. Making progress. All right, last but not least, did you guys see the rant done by New York Yankees general manager Aaron Boone?
Yes.
In case you haven't seen it, go find it on the internet, on Twitter. Go find it wherever you can. It is very, very good. Now,
he's a little hard on the guy. I mean, I get it. You got to take up for your players, but the guy made a mistake.
Look, apparently he made a mistake for a while. Apparently, according to Aaron Boone.
You got
to
go out there and dog cuss him and make a scene out of it?
Well, I feel like that's how a lot of the interactions probably go. It's just that they never have the mics turned up that much.
I don't know. Baseball people like it.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, people like when the manager goes out there and...
Of course they do.
I didn't see the calls or how bad it was.
Yeah, me neither.
But I don't know.
You said the purists don't like it? The purists would love it. Go out there, old school baseball, throw a base around like Lou Piniella, kick a little dirt on them.
Did you guys see the video of the young kid again? Kid who dressed up as a manager for one of those minor league teams.
They got thrown out.
He's done it again. He had a great moment yesterday.
The only thing about that, it's like, how cool is it when we all know it's a gimmick? The damn kid ain't going out there getting tossed, getting mad. They're doing it as a show.
Yeah, but have you ever seen it before?
I've seen, teams dress up kids as managers. I never seen them go full extent and, go out there and get tossed out of the game and then get tossed out of it again.
This kid was walking circles around the umpire, went to the dugout, grabbed 6 bats,
threw
the bats into the infield, went back into the dugout, grabbed a bucket of balls, took the bucket of balls out into the infield, dumped them and threw them everywhere, went back to the umpire, kicked dirt on him, and then left.
And he's like 8.
It is gold.
I don't get it.
It's. I'm sorry, Rick. It's not that good.
It's pretty good.
I don't get why why actual managers do it. Seems childish.
To throw things?
Yeah.
Get your point across, man. Ain't you when you're mad? You throw things?
When I was 12.
You never just been so mad you just want to, break a plate or break a glass?
No.
You ain't never been mad then, bro. Because I've done that definitely in the last year. Maybe I, outside of this job, I work in other high-stressed areas, but... There is nothing like when you're stressed or you're pissed off at the world, just go and just slam a plate on the sidewalk or a glass on the sidewalk and just, Mazel Tov.
I think that means congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to that plate. Congratulations to my stress for leaving. Thank you, plate, for helping me out. Yeah, man. You can do it sometime next time you get really – I'm talking about – I don't see you getting mad, Brandon, but if you ever get real mad, just go break a plate or a glass.
You know when I was ready to break a plate yesterday? When we talked about this article.
Are you doing it again?
I was absolutely ready. I was ready to just start breaking stuff left and right. Like a bull in a china shop.
Like a bear in a china shop.
So, and we're not going to get into this article, like we said earlier. We're not going to get into the writer that wrote it. But we do want to get into the question that he posed, why Tennessee will never be elite again. So change that up and saying, you know, the question that I want to present to you guys and the question that has been talked about the last day or so is, does Tennessee have the resources? Does Tennessee have the ability? And do you guys think it can actually happen for Tennessee to get to that level again? And I do want to say, you know, not just top 25 level, right? Maybe you're just in the mix for the top 25 year in, year out. I mean, we're talking the...
I mean, I wouldn't consider that elite.
Yeah. We have to be talking, hey, consistent trips to the college football playoffs. No one's saying, hey, it's got to be three straight years, right? But you have to be in that conversation. You have to be making it. And you do have to win every once in a while to do so.
I mean, I would say as long as you're competing for championships, whether that be... whether you're in contention for the college football playoff, I mean, even if you if you're winning the SEC East, that gives you a shot to win the SEC championship game. And more times than not, if you win the SEC championship game, you're going to go to the playoff.
Yeah.
So I mean, as long as you're competing for division titles and conference titles, I think you're going to be in the mix for the playoff. So that's what I put it at. Can you get back to that level, competing for championships? Now, I'm not saying it has to be every year, but one out of every three, one out of every 4 years, make a trip to Atlanta? Is that too much to ask?
No, and I think that one of the biggest things that factors into this is kind of the standards that your recruits are, right? You make it to the college football playoff on – just kind of a magical year, right? With guys who are good, right? But you know, they weren't necessarily the biggest recruits. You just had a magical run into the playoffs. But maybe you don't get the same luck the year after that, right? You do look at these teams like Alabama, like Clemson, even like an Oklahoma, who maybe their recruiting isn't always the best, but look at the transfers they've gotten recently. Baker Mayfield was a transfer. Kyler Murray was a transfer. Jalen Hurts is a transfer. Right? The best teams in the country that you do consider in that elite level are getting the best talent year in and year out. And to your point, Brandon, I don't think you're competing for an SEC East title. I don't think you're competing for an SEC title. If you are not doing your part in the offseason and you are not bringing in the right talent. Because football is obviously very different from basketball. Last year, we had a team of magic filled by a bunch of three stars, right? But at the end of the game, we had, what, seven, maybe eight players in rotation? And so when you do have four standout guys, maybe even five standout guys, you can do considerably more, right? And you can compete with teams like Kentucky, who has pretty much all five stars and a couple four stars. I think that the most important thing to getting to an elite level is the recruiting process and how you are acquiring new talent each year.
Yeah, and I mean, in his article, and we touched on it yesterday, but in his article he talks with Spurrier, and Spurrier kind of compares it to Nebraska, and I heard John and Cody talking about it yesterday. To me, everybody likes to compare Tennessee and Nebraska because they were the two powers in the 90s. But Tennessee is just a lot easier to recruit to than Nebraska. I mean, you look at the areas that are around Knoxville. You got Carolinas, you got Virginia, you've got Nashville, you've got Georgia, Florida, all right there close. What's Nebraska have? I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure they pull from Ohio and Illinois and some of those Midwestern states, but it's not the same. I mean, as far as the recruiting base, I think Tennessee is much better off than Nebraska is. So as far as recruiting goes, I think they definitely have that going for them.
But then you can also look at Nebraska in the sense of, you know, hey, maybe it is actually easier for them to get back to an elite level on the field, because I think the talent for the most part in the Big Ten is easier from, you know, when you were looking at all teams involved.
I don't know. I feel like that's just a bias, like trying to like go at Nebraska. Like I heard
well,
somebody
look at their teams. You got Michigan, typically very good. Michigan State, they can be very good.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Penn State's fallen off.
All those teams though are not in their all those teams are not in their division.
Well, they're in the Big Ten as a whole.
Right.
So you're saying
just that, like, we consider the SEC as a whole.
I mean, it might be tougher for, I guess, like Tennessee going up against other SEC foes for recruiting, but like, I mean, I believe it's just as tough for Nebraska. I mean, they haven't done anything either.
That's why I said on the field wise.
That
so
it's
like
good.
when you get into the competition on the field, right? Because we were saying that, hey, the key to getting to the final destination is the division championships, is the conference championships, and then you are in that conversation, right? And so, you know, I totally agree with Brandon that, hey, Tennessee is in a better recruiting position, right? Because it is in the SEC. Knoxville is significantly better. The South, to a lot of people, is more favorable. But, you know, when you are looking at those two teams, I think that Nebraska has an easier chance, or maybe not easier, a better chance on the field.
I don't know about that. I think it goes back to what we've talked about. If you win, you'll recruit. I mean, Brandon said that too. Like, I don't know. We'd have to dive more into this Nebraska, Tennessee. A lot of people are upset. Tennessee keeps getting compared to Nebraska, but like, I really don't understand why. I mean, it really is similar situations. Now, you're both not doing anything. You both were very dominant at one point. Like, they are hitting the nail on the head.
And both programs,
new coaches,
got coaches going into their second year.
Yeah,
we'll see how.
You're pretty identical when you look at it. 865-546-8200-546-8200 if you want to get on the next group home hotlines. Listen to the Blitz. Be right back.
Congratulations.
AM back here on the Blitz. This is a jam for all the fellas. If you would like to give us a call on the Next Door Home Group hotline, go ahead at 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Continuing the conversation from a second ago, what does it look like for Tennessee to be elite again?
Consistency. I mean, as far as consistency is the overall theme. You have to be consistent in recruiting. You have to have consistency with your coaching, whether that's the hierarchy and how things are presented, or just consistently having the same coach for, you know, more than 3 years at a time.
Yeah.
Consistency from your players, giving you the best they can give you each time out. You know, Nick Saban is – we've seen him, and he is so – he's such a perfectionist, and at the same time, like, he doesn't take any you taking a playoff. He won't take you missing an assignment when they're up 40 with a minute left in the fourth quarter. It's about being consistent at all times in every facet of the game. Consistency. That's what you have to be in order to be elite. Look at Clemson. Look at Ohio State. Look at Oklahoma. Look at Alabama. You could say look at Florida State when Jimbo was there for a long time. I mean, like, just consistent programs. Like, that's what you're looking for. The teams that haven't been so consistent over the years, Tennessee, Nebraska, USC, where are those teams at? You know, like, it's about consistency. I think that's the main theme overall.
And kind of – I want to get into this article just a little bit. I want to touch on something he said that we didn't get to yesterday.
Yeah.
But at one point in the article, he talks about here it is. He says, the lunacy hit an all-time high at the end of the 2017 season and led to a convergence of events that concluded with the Vols overpaying a career assistant coach $4 million a year to mop up the mess. And he's kind of using that as a reason to support his headline of the article, Tennessee will never be elite again. And that's just not true. You can't use that that they hired a career assistant coach as a reason that they'll never be good again. I mean, look at three examples right here. Lincoln Riley, career assistant. What's he doing at Oklahoma? Kirby Smart, career assistant. Dabo Sweeney, career assistant. So, I mean, get out of here with that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know those are only three guys, but still.
When you're right, and the other thing he does is he spends 6, I think it's 6 straight paragraphs just kind of recapping all the Shiano Sunday, the coaching search mess, all of that kind of stuff, right? And it's like, I don't necessarily understand why that is contributing to the future. Like, yes, we all know that a lot of things were screwed up in the past, that offseason that all happened.
But wouldn't you say, all right, so take off your orange glasses, forget that you ever went to Tennessee. For me, if I saw what was happening, it'd be hard for me not to say, man, I don't know if that program can come back from that. Like, from where Tennessee is right now, and then everything that transpired before you got Jeremy Pruitt, I think that, like, I'm not, like, saying the guy's – his article was trash. It was clickbait to get everybody pissed off, which he got each one of you pissed off. He did. A lot of you at home, you're pissed off. You clicked on it. I'm not going to click on it. You clicked on it. You read it. And then he started tweeting them. So he did what he was supposed to do as a journalist. Like, I know the article might have been trash, but what did he do? He provoked thought. He provoked responses. And he got you to read his work. So he did his damn job. And I'm not going to lie. Hey, power move by that guy. He actually, you know, he got in a time where we were like list season and everything. He took a prime opportunity right after media days ended for Tennessee and hit you right in the mouth and y'all went down. But for the most part, like, what, like, it's about, like, if I was, it'd be hard for me to say, like, man, if this was USC and all this stuff, I'd be like, man, I don't know. It's going to take them a while to come back. Now, I think he's not giving us enough credit, you know, saying that Tennessee can never be good again. But I could see where somebody could get that point of view and that perspective and just insinuate and have a predetermined perspective, like, ah, man, I don't know if they're ever going to, like, did you see what happened to them? Shiano Sunday? They're on what number coach now? They used to be a top 10 program year in, year out. Like, I can see somebody saying that.
But I'm going to put those orange-colored glasses back on because of this reason. Tennessee fans know...
That's not the point of the exercise.
Right? I know, but look, Tennessee fans better understand every single thing that happened at this university better than anyone else did. Everyone else in the country sees, oh, man, they lost their athletic director. You know, they missed on all these coaches. But we understand that we went from Dave Hart to John Curry eventually, and then to Philip Fulmer, right? So while they see, hey, you lost your athletic director, we see, hey, we gained probably the most important thing to this university's athletic programs, plural, right? And while they see, you know, hey, they missed out on this guy, and they missed out on this guy, we see what Philip Fulmer is doing here, and we are understanding because we're in the thick of things. They see the broad outlines. We see the details because we are in the middle of it. And if you want to tell me that somebody, you know, can look at us and say, you know, hey, wow, Tennessee might never be great again. Look what happened to the athletic director. Look what happened to the coaches. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, hey, we just got the best athletic director possible for our school. And look what has already happened in the short amount of time since. Yes, maybe we haven't seen it on the field yet, but hey, we have seen it. And its development to being on the field. And I think that if you look at it from a non-Tennessee point of view, your scope broadens considerably.
When you say, look, we've seen the development outside of – what have you seen? There's a new coach here. No, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. What have we seen? We got a new coach. We hadn't seen anything, though, yet.
I think that you have seen a completely upgraded coaching staff.
You saw.
I don't think that's just Jeremy Pruitt that brings in the great coaching staff. I think you can tell that things that just the focus is getting back on the simple athletics and not the renovations, right, to multiple stadiums here and there. The focus is on the athletics right now.
Okay,
the coaching staff that Tennessee has is because of what Phil Fulmer is doing with Jeremy Pruitt.
I think that you're right, Chance. I do think that
I feel like how Rick's saying it. It's like when people from Texas are like, "We're back." When they kept saying, "We're back," that's how I feel. That's how your argument sounds, like Tennessee's back, but like you haven't seen anything yet.
No, and
I'm not saying we're back.
It's to be determined. But
yeah.
from a national perspective, it probably did look like it had hit the fan.
Yeah,
and it was a complete wreck, and it was.
It looked very much a joke because of it's Tennessee. Like those things shouldn't happen at Tennessee.
But obviously the coaching search was a mess, and then national media they trashed us for you get rid of Curry and you replace him with a former football coach that has no athletic director experience. Yeah, that probably looks like a dumb move, but when you look at it. I think that Fulmer was a good hire because he knows the program, and I think if you ask a lot of Tennessee fans, what Tennessee needed was Tennessee people in power, people who understand the university, who understand the people of Tennessee, and the people that the University of Tennessee represents. And I think Fulmer gets that more than anybody else that could have gotten the job outside of maybe David Blackburn, maybe a few other people. But to what Rick's saying, I do think that Fulmer has given Jeremy Pruitt every opportunity to succeed. There has been nothing that he has not given him. You look at the staff that Pruitt has been able to assemble because of what Philip Fulmer has allowed him to do. I mean, you've got two very highly paid coordinators. One of the best staffs in the country, in my opinion. He broke the bank to keep Rick Barnes, and nobody really knows if Florida State ever really came after Tony Vitello, but he locked Tony Vitello up, who looks like he's, and Rick just talked about it with the top 10 recruiting class, who looks like he's building the baseball program back. I think that you've got the right guy in place at athletic director, and it's building that way. It's building toward what we all want, and that's Tennessee athletics being important again.
Rick, is that your laptop again?
No, that is not mine.
865-546.
I saw Brandon's eye twitching.
8200. Take a quick break. Get to these phone calls. On the other side, you listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Founded in downtown Knoxville, Axel Logistics brings a unique approach to third-party logistics, and they do so through their lively company culture and lucrative pay structure. And they're looking for sales-minded, driven individuals who want to take control of their future. So whether you are a college student heading towards graduation or someone needing a career change, Axel Logistics wants to give you the opportunity to build your own empire. No logistics experience required. Go to axellogistics.com and apply for the role of logistics consultant. Be sure to list Fox Sports Knoxville as your source when applying.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard. Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right.
Oh my God! Boy, this has got to be something we lead off with in hour number one. Hour number two. Excuse me.
Very shocking revelation from Rick Butler that we'll get into.
The biggest shocking revelation from Rick. I can't believe what I just heard during the break.
Reviews on the line.
Well, hey, save it.
You
save it. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to get on the next group. Home Hotline today. Let's go ahead and take a call from Big Josh. Josh, you're on the Blitz today. How you doing, man? Happy Friday.
Josh. Hello. Josh, going once.
Josh, going once. Josh, going twice. Call us back, Josh.
Give us a call back, Josh. 865-546-8200 to get on the Next Door Home Group Hotline. Continuing our discussion on
elite.
Being elite.
Being elite. And, hey, let's face it, guys. Elite. I know nobody's going to want to hear this, but even if Tennessee starts competing for the East, you're not elite again in my book until you make it to Atlanta. I don't give a damn about competing for the East. Like, I mean, like, I want them to be in Atlanta. When you get back to it, when you win the East, not competing for the East, when you win the SEC East, and we get to march our happy, you know what's down to Atlanta, that's when I'll say Tennessee back on the trend of being elite again and the consistency being back and all good in the world again. You got to get back to Atlanta. You can't just compete. You can't just be one of the second or third best teams in the East. You have to get to an SEC championship game once again. It's been how long? We're talking about 2005. Was it the last time?
2007.
Excuse me. LSU. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Let's go back to the Next Door phone lines. I think we got Josh back. Josh, how's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Couldn't hear you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Good morning.
All good, Josh. Happy Friday.
Hey, man. Same to you, Chance. I'll say the national media, they don't have a clue what's going on at Tennessee. It all changed Shiano Sundays when it changed. I grew up in the 80s and saw the glory years. And I don't want to hear about experienced athletic directors. I mean, we had a football coach in charge during that time.
Dickie.
And, you know, it's kind of the same deal now. We finally got somebody that cares about football instead of one of these bean counters that really don't know nothing about nothing except building buildings. And, you know, I think we're on the right track, man. It's just a matter of time before we get good again. I don't think we're going to be good this year. But if we keep doing what we're doing, I think it's going to come pretty quickly, I believe.
Yeah, and Chance hit on it. I mean, I think it takes stability. I mean, you look the past 10 years. I mean, four different head coaches. I don't know how many different offensive coordinators, how many different strength and conditioning coaches. But stuff that the small stuff like that matters. Especially when you're talking strength and conditioning and you're going into year two under Craig Fitzgerald. I think kind of keeping this staff together and the continuity, I think that may be the most important part of it.
Well, Fulmer's best teams, he recruited the Atlanta area. He recruited West Tennessee. He recruited the Carolinas. And you look at what Pruitt's doing, it's the same formula, man. You keep your best in-state kids here, which he's starting to do this year with this class. And you recruit Atlanta hard, you recruit West Tennessee, and you start stealing kids out of the Carolinas like you've seen with Crouch. And we got a good quarterback coming next year, which we've not seen in a long time. And things will start changing. But he's got the formula right. It's just can he keep his head and not go, you know, crazy over on the sidelines, you know, and just learn how to be a head coach. If he can do that, we're going to win some games, but it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, and winning games, that's going to help him with the recruiting because right now I think it's tough, especially those areas that you mentioned, Josh. I mean, Atlanta, you've got Georgia, who's good now. When Fulmer was here, they were not. In the Carolinas, you've got Clemson, who is a national powerhouse now, who was not good when Fulmer was head coach. You've got Alabama, who later in Fulmer's kind of in the mid to late 90s was down, who likes to come in and poach kids out of the mid-state. So you're going to have to start winning games to kind of get some of these players' attention.
Well, you're going to start winning games. Clemson has stole our program, man, and I know it's been said a million times, but I'm from up here in Northeast Tennessee, and Trevor Lawrence should be playing at UT right now. There's no excuse he isn't. Brick by brick, totally bumbled ass, screwed it up like he'd done a lot of things. But you look at what they've got, T. Higgins, you look at some of their coaching staff, Marion Hobby, Dan Brooks,
Well, I don't really think it's like they're stealing or, whatever you just said. I just think that, like, they're doing it better right now. They're winning.
They capitalized on us going down. I mean, T. Higgins would have been here if Jeremy Pruitt would have been here. I have no doubt about it.
You'd hope so. You definitely – I think you would have had a better shot at probably getting him and Amari Rodgers in here as well. Yeah, and Kay, too. Yeah, there's – but also, he still could have got Cade technically, but
come on, he had 2 weeks chance.
I'm saying he still kind of had opportunity. Cade Mays didn't want to come here because of instability issues. It didn't have nothing to do with if Jeremy Pruitt was coming or not. He still could have made that decision. He's a legacy. He could have stayed here as much as everybody was ripping everything. He could have made that choice, but he didn't want to come here because of the cluster bleep that was going on. So that is, indicative of what was going on. But, yeah, do I think Tennessee's moving in the right direction, Josh? I definitely do think they're moving in the right direction. I just think to be elite, you got to get to Atlanta. I don't care about, it's working. It's going to take 4 or 5 years. We're not elite again until they get back to Atlanta and them's the breaks.
No, we're not elite.
We can't even beat Vandy. We can't even beat Vandy, Josh. Vandy's beat us how many times straight?
We're a long way from elite.
Vandy has beat.
Be elite.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen it before. So.
No, we definitely can, and it's fun when it happens around here.
Hey, tell me about it. That's why I'm still hanging on after 20 years of this nonsense. Hey, y'all take care.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Appreciate the call, Josh. 865-546-8200. If you would like to join us on the Next Door Home Group hotline, take a quick break. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stay tuned. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.